This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2279. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded January 23rd, Austria, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Canada, China, Cuba, Denmark, Finland, France, Korea North, Kurdistan, Mongolia, Netherlands, Peru, Romania, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, Tibet, UAE, UK, USA, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Tom, DF5JL, keeps us informed about the Moosbrunn shortwave site in Austria. The municipality of Moosbrunn announced that the rotating antenna would be blown up on January 23rd or 30th, depending on the weather. The site was closed and switched off on December 31st. All ongoing efforts to preserve the facility, at least in its decommissioned state, had failed. Hams and former employees had initially tried to have the Moosbrunn facility listed as a historical monument, or to turn it into a technical museum, but that was rejected. The demolition announcement came as a surprise to everyone involved, scheduled for January 23rd around 2 p.m. But on the 23rd, Tom reported, the blasting was initially postponed until January 31st due to technical problems. Leslie Ellingworth in Bremerhaven has more about this from digitalfernsehen.de. Since the technical systems and existing antennas are still in full working order, the Moosbrunn Shortwave Center would continue to be fully operational. The large rotating antenna offers the system a very high level of flexibility, allowing it to broadcast to almost any region of the world. We don't yet know the exact background of what happened behind the scenes over the last few weeks. An employee at the Moosbrunn Municipal Office confirmed the demolition of the facility was scheduled for January 23rd, but had been canceled for the time being. He couldn't give the reasons. It seems to us that some decision-maker is trying to ignore all ongoing efforts and create facts. True to the motto, the system has to go, so boom. Via Mike Cooper, BBC Monitoring reported on January 21st that a correspondent for Voice of America has been banned from leaving Azerbaijan. Ulviya Ali, or Kulieva, according to the FB page of opposition Maidan TV. She revealed the travel ban following her questioning at the Baku City Main Police Department in connection with a Maidan TV case. She only became aware of the ban after inquiring about it herself. She said, it violates my right to free movement as a threat to my journalistic activities. Radio Bulgaria is long gone from shortwave itself, but according to the website bnr.bg via Yimbir Gaviria, they are offering two series of QSL cards for this year celebrating the beauty of Bulgaria. The first set, 6 postcards highlighting famous landmarks, and the second set showcases 12 lesser-known picturesque locations across the country. Available for listeners who submit reception reports. Alexander Myatlikov in Ukraine explains, the station verifies reports even for online listening, which is not okay for many, but that's a different story. The series of 6 QSLs are for online listening, while the 12 QSLs are for their medium wave frequency, 200 kilowatts on 576, and for FM. Each of the 6 QSLs requires 3 reports for each month, like 3 for January and 3 for February. You can send your reports by email to reception.report@bnr.bg. Apparently this does not apply to Spaceline, Bulgarian shortwave relays of stations elsewhere. Lance Venta of RadioInsight.com reports on January 21st about Vancouver, BC stations. 980 CKNW will move to 730 on Monday, February 24th. 730 CFGO began simulcasting CKNW last June, following the end of its all-traffic programming during chorus cutbacks. The move of CKNW to 7:30 is said to better service our Vancouver listeners and provide wider, more accessible coverage in downtown Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. Both stations currently operate with directional 50-kilowatt signals day and night. Ryan Barber, VA7BFR, tells me January 18th, the Woodenweber at Masset, B.C. appears to be getting some upgrades. That's a very fancy antenna. He says the crew has been replacing posts of the outer ring, a slow-going process. Walt Salmonen, who has his own private antenna farm nearby on Hadagwai, has also been observing this. He says, except for two Canadian sites here and in Gander, Newfoundland, all these FRD-10 network stations have been decommissioned around the world and dismantled. They are for specifically monitoring shortwave frequencies by the military. Canada Non, Tony Pavick provides the next programs of his Pop Shop radio program. The theme is Glam Rock, Saturday, 25 January at 14 UT on 6160 via Vincent, Germany, and Saturday at 23 on 3955 and 9670 from Channel 292. Sunday the 26th at 20 on 3975, and finally Monday the 27th, UT at 02 on WRMI 5950. And looking ahead, Tony Pavick says the February transmission on Wednesday, February 12th, that's the day it starts, will be Love Songs for Valentine's Day. And in March, the week of Wednesday, 19 March, American, British, and Canadian pop singers in German. However, another program, Canadian Content Radio by Sean Welsh, has gone on hiatus indefinitely, he says. The final broadcast for now was Thursday, January 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern on WRMI 9395. Maybe also from Canada, an anti-Drump pirate on 6925 USB, Tony Pavick heard, UT Tuesday, January 21st, starting at 0140. Until off at 0212, a somewhat humorous anti-Drump pirate calling itself Radio Canada International, complete with RCI interval signals and IDs, jabbing at Drump over his Canada as 51st state comments, including the song, I Don't Want to Be an American. China, Tony Pavick also reports, over the past few weeks of monitoring CRI, I note that just as it has music only in German, Hungarian, Polish, and Portuguese transmissions, a similar thing has occurred to their Russian output. While it has not gone all music, they seem to be repeating a feature about tofu and its history, certainly on an every-hour basis between 12 and 16 UT, every day, on all frequencies. It seems like China Radio International in Russian has gone all tofu, all the time, yummy. Alex Miatnikov in Ukraine explains, this situation with repeats has been seen for over 3 years now, since around the time those services switched to music. The current set of programs is repeated for over a year. In the previous years, there were different programs, but they were also repeated. The only exception is New Year greetings from Xi. All that seems quite stupid to me, as they could at least relay CGTN Russian TV channel audio on shortwave. However, if they can afford to repeat the same stuff, let it be. CRI, Romanian, Czech, Bulgarian, Serbian, Croatian are also music-only. CRI, Albanian, relays Radio Ijani, their Albanian project, also present in Albania on FM. One of those music-only broadcasts is the Portuguese service via Cuba, at 23 UT on 13650. On January 17th, Rick Barton in Arizona tuning in then, at first was hearing something in English sounding like an American preacher, but then it was blocked by the Chinese music. As for Radio Havana, Cuba's own shortwave broadcasts, hardly anything survives, but January 22nd at 16:15 and other mornings on 15230, I hear some dead air. So this is apparently an RHC frequency. David Potter in Gainesville, Florida, still hears them sometimes on 6,000 kilohertz, irregularly in Spanish between midnight and 01 UT, such as January 7th, and again on the 17th. Manuel Mendes in Spain says that Denmark's World Music Radio seems to have been out of the air for several days on 5930, not heard on January 15th, 16th, or 17th. However, on the 17th, it was strong at 1810 on 15700. Jorge Garzon in the British TS Club replies that their antenna is faulty. In Medium Wave Echo of the Arctic Radio Club, Jorma Mentilä reports about Finland, 963 kHz. Alpha Media Group, broadcasts from Pori to Russia, are delayed. Traficom license was granted on the 8th of November. However, the 600 kilowatt AM station in Pori has been unused for 12 years since 2013. The transmitter was found to be in poor condition. Repair and maintenance will take more time and money. Ben Dawson wonders what's the make and model of the 600 kilowatt box. Mauno Rito replies, Brown Boveri from 1987, but I did not find the model. Alexander Myatnikov in Ukraine says, instead of trying to run such a big and dubious project, it would be more wise for them to broadcast via Estonia's Radio Eli, 1035 kHz up to 200 kilowatts, as done by many others. TWR in Russian and Belarusian, Voice of Hope in Russian and Ukrainian, Missionswerk Friedenstimme, Ministry on Shortwave from 2003 until 2020 via Germany, The Voice of Martyrs, both in Russian, etc. In darkness hours, Eli is well heard across all of Eastern Europe. And Kai Ludwig says the BBC is or was supposed to lease airtime on 963. It would also be a good relay for Deutsche Welle and RFERL. About World Radio Day, February 13th, as mentioned last week, and Radio France International inviting listener comments by February 1st, even though they refused to broadcast any English on shortwave. Henry Mensch says the program The Sound Kitchen is now distributed as a podcast. John Perry in Indiana comments, RFI had a daily English hour at 13 UT, although IGH seemed to recall it was at 16. Anyhow, they do broadcast in several other languages, including African ones, still on shortwave. John says it seems an English broadcast two or three times a day of the same 1 hour of programming would not be too much to ask, but like the BBC, VOA, Radio Australia, and others, they seem to want to pull the plug on shortwave, while Communist China has dozens of transmitters and frequencies beaming CGTN radio in various languages around the world. Let 100 flowers bloom. In WRTHFB, Christian Gibodo, via Rusty X, says, Radio France International has a website dedicated to its 50th anniversary in January. It's 50ans-rfi.fr. In the NASFA flash sheet, Ralph Perry in Illinois has an unID Asian on 9433.53. January 15th, muffled, but poor deferred. Power at 1342. Could it be Korea off frequency from 9435? He cannot find any parallels. But coincidentally, Tony Pavick in BC identifies it as the Voice of Korea and measured on almost the same off frequency, 9433.52. This was January 15th at 15 UT in English. Observations of the Kurdish-Stanish-Turkish radio war. Rick Barton in Arizona reports Turkish jamming on 11540, presumed, at 1530 UT, January 17th. Rowdy, loud male chorus and some shouting, but cut off at 1550. Ralph Perry in Illinois reports on January 19th. Radyoya Dengagel via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, on 11530.03 at 1325. At the same time, the Turkish jammer was on 11510, 20 kilohertz away, a bat mix with Radio Free North Korea. But at 1327, the jammer jumped onto the top of Dengagel on 11530. On January 20th, Wolfgang Bucher reported Dengagel on exactly 11550 at 1040, while the jammer was on 11525.013. Alex Myatnikov says Dengagel is definitely via Armenia. And more reports on January 21st by Wolfgang Büschel. Dengagel was on 11539.997, and the Turkish jammer on 11535.0. 0.011 around 1430 UT. While he's at it, Wolfgang Büschel also reports English from Voice of Mongolia, January 21st at 1455 on 12014.501, tuning via remotes in Qatar and Japan. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2279, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Michael Bew in Texas, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Walt Salmaniv reports on January 19th, propagation rather rough for the past several days. I noted 12085 2 week, but then coming in at a fair level at 1804 UT, a 1 kilowatt station from Elburg, Netherlands, Radio Delta. Then a lot of IDs and into the Lion King, Johnny Cash, If I Were a Carpenter, at 1809. Walt's tagline is, enjoying the world of radio from my remote QTH on Haida Gwaii off the northwest coast of BC, Canada. From Rigo Park, New York, Moises Korejokia reports, on my annual trip to Peru, I stayed at my parents' apartment in a busy area of the city. Due to RF noise from several sources like cars, mobile phone antennas, even a few microwave links, the AM noise floor was really quite saturated. Despite that, I was surprised to notice quite a lot of stations operating on medium wave in Lima, though most of them without their previous full power. On the shortwave side, the only decent signal with armchair level was Radio Martí, albeit directed elsewhere in content and signal. It can be heard with no exterior antenna, just the telescopic. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Ken Zicke reports Radio Romania International on 7325 in English, UT Friday, January 17th at 0110, with a report about how the Ukraine war is impacting in Radio Newsreel and then focus on Romania and a travel feature. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, on 15 January, RRI's half-hour English broadcast at 21:30 came in very well on 7375 and fairly well on 9500 with indoor equipment. Being a Wednesday, there was an episode of Romania, the Eastern Flank, which regularly reports on Romania's military preparedness as a frontline member of NATO and a bulwark against further Russian aggression. An item talked about NATO's steadfast DART exercise involving Romania and Bulgaria, running from 13 January to 26 February. What other shortwave or other station regularly covers NATO activities? And he says, I've complained about the lack of any music during the half-hour English broadcast at 21:30, but recently I've noticed at least one musical item during many of the transmissions. And on Sunday, January 19th, he was hearing RRI by chance at 18:50, with a one-hour DRM broadcast in English to Western Europe on 11630, using his indoor equipment, a good signal with no dropouts through the end of the broadcast. And Walt Salmanov in BC says about Romania, 7325, January 19th at 0124, very good level in English for Eastern North America. Romania for years now is the station to emulate. Interesting programs with superb technical parameters. May they exist for many more years. And he heard them again at 0400 on 9510 at an excellent level to Western North America. Filed this time under the transmitter site Saudi Arabia, Wolfgang Büschel reports on Republic of Yemen Radio in Arabic on 11934.894, a clean audio signal on much oddity frequency and no Iranian jamming underneath observed at 1404 UT. And I've noticed that this frequency has also been quite stable, considerably below 11935. Taiwan, via remote, Wolfgang Büschel observes Star Star Broadcasting Station, or Xing Xing Guangbo Diantai, on exactly 15388. However, there was only a carrier and very low modulation, if any, January 21st at 1516. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph Perry in Illinois reports Voices of Tibet via Tashkent, that clandestine which jumps around frequencies. January 14th at 1341 on 9893.05, parallel to better 9883. Then on January 19th at 1320 on 9886.97. Walt Salmanov, NBC, reports World Radio Network's Russian language service, Semyonaya Radio via UAE 11785. A superb 40/9 signal at 1640 in programming from Radio Slovakia International. From Radio Magazine via Idun's Medium Wave Info via Mike Terry. Are we heading for another extension of BBC Radio 4 on long wave 198 kHz? It is due to be shut down in June, if the latest announced extension is to be believed. This has been negotiated by the energy industry, which relies on the BBC to transmit the Economy 7 telecom signal. It appears almost 1 million homes and businesses still rely on old meters that use the telecommutation signal. It's therefore unlikely that all these meters will be replaced before June. Owned and operated by Arkiva on behalf of BBC, Arkiva may be happy to keep the customer for a few more months, but is concerned about the state of the installation at the end of its life, and about the stock of spare parts, almost non-existent. Michael 2E0IHW says, at least the mast structures could be conserved. The fires in California remind us how important reliable, wide-ranging communications are in a major crisis. The Radio 4 masts could be repurposed for medium wave if climate or other threats loomed, as there are fewer long-wave receivers in use. Ben Cobb forwards news from FCC and explains it about the DPA-MAC shortwave decision. It essentially nullifies the original purpose of the station, to earn revenue by transmitting international exchange orders to private customers, while purporting to be a radio broadcaster to the public in order to secure a license. The decision leaves, apparently for the Trump FCC, the fate of several related ventures, including shortwave station WIPE, which is said to be already built in New Jersey, a parable station in Illinois, which claims to local regulators to be an evangelical operation, as well as proposals of Shortwave Modernization Coalition and the future of several existing shortwave stations licensed in the experimental radio service. So the FCC granted the application for DRM station WIPE in New Jersey and for Parable in Batavia, Illinois, though it applied conditions to Parable. WIPE's founder is forestry entrepreneur Paulo Kuniaska. He claimed to FCC the station will engage only in commercial DRM programming and not private services, as was suspected of DPA MAC and Parable. Large HF beam antennas at the historic Alpine, New Jersey broadcast site are thought to belong to WIPE. Parable's founder is radio navigation developer Charles Shue, S-C-H-U-E. Parable told FCC while its broadcasted content will not be encrypted, some of its digital transmission would be encoded and indecipherable to persons other than the content provider. This would likely have been private data communications to foreign exchanges. Of this, FCC concluded that the encoded portion of the proposed data transmissions would not conform to the requirements of the definition of a broadcast in the Communications Act, or the definition of an international broadcast service in the Commission's rules. Accordingly, FCC declined to permit encoded data in Parable's broadcast. Ken Zicke says nobody ever mentions that WINB was doing just this until very recently. Although they have now stopped using DRM entirely, when they were broadcasting a narrow bandwidth of unencrypted broadcast signal DRM alongside a similarly narrow bandwidth of encrypted data. Nobody ever admitted that is what WINB was doing, and they never disclosed who the transmission was aimed at. However, Ben Cobb replies, that was reported to FCC as an alleged violation, which contains the DRM specifications for use by U.S. shortwave stations. That was probably Parable testing via WINB. The station did describe that as a data stream. Parable's parent company is licensed for a 6 GHz microwave link that terminates at the Red Lion, Pennsylvania site of WINB. Mike Terry forwards a story from AP January 17th, Voice of America is required by law to report the news accurately. Could Donald Trump change that? I think we know the answer. A long story well worth reading, also dealing with Carrie Lake as head of VOA. Kim Elliott's NASFA column sums up this situation. In The Guardian, Andrew Gawthorpe opined that Lake's embrace of unhinged conspiracy theories suggests she has difficulty separating fact from fiction. Even more concerning is her attitude towards journalists, whom she's described as monsters who ought to be defunded. Of course, like many other government matters, there is fast-breaking news about this. Kai Ludwig reports on January 22nd, Amanda Bennett is gone, and VOA Director Abramovitz is not acting USAGM CEO because the relevant Biden memorandum was amongst the 78 documents Trump declared null and void with his very first order. On January 22nd, Dan Robinson refers us to a Truth Social post by you-know-who. I'm pleased to announce that L. Brennett Bozell, B-O-Z-E-L-L, III, will serve as the next CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media. You can read all about him at Wikipedia, James Branham points out. There was a bit of ghostwriting scandal about him 10 years ago, and his son was a January 6th rioter who recently was sprung from a 45-month prison sentence due to the new emperor's decree. Greg Harrison says he was an active far, far right advocate 40-odd years ago. I used to run into him on the talk radio show circuit. He was always one of the most extreme voices in the woodpile. How long will it take for VOA to begin referring to our respected and beloved leader? Via David Cole, we see another article about this from the New York Times, January 22nd, headlined, Trump picks conservative activist to lead U.S. media agency. Earlier in the World of Radio group, there was quite a discussion about the accuracy of worldwide audience figures claimed by USAGM. Dan Robinson says anyone who just swallows these audience claims without questioning language and methods used to arrive at ever-increasing numbers should check to see that they still have their wallets. Last week we reported that outgoing FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel had dismissed complaints against ABC, CBS, and NBC for 2024 election coverage. But now her successor, Brendan Carr, has reinstated those complaints. John Filiozzi refers us to an article about this in The Guardian of January 22nd. And there's another story about this from Reuters. Uzbekistan, Wolfgang Büssel reports, a much odd frequency of Tashkent, broadcasting Voice of the Wilderness in Korean, at 1530 UT, January 19th, 9329.936. And he reports Voice of Vietnam on an exact frequency for a change, 12020 even, at 1456 UT, January 21st in Indonesian. The propagation outlook from SWPC, issued January 20th. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 5, January 31st to February 2nd, and February 13th. Only 5 and 2 until the 31st, but then more than that, including 15 and 4, 12 and 4, 18 and 5, and so forth. Solar flux peaking at 245, January 27th to 29th, and down to 185 by February 11th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 2279, with a standard disclaimer.